Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In keeping with our Epiphany theme of revealing Christ, our text today reminds us what John had to say about Jesus when he walked by. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then he goes on to elaborate about who Jesus is and what kinds of things he will do. John says, "He is the one that I have been talking about. He's the one that I have explained to you." He said, "After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me." That sounds a little bit confusing, but if you go back to the very beginning of John's epistle, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That Word that he's talking about is Jesus himself. And so, in the beginning was Jesus, and therefore Jesus was before John. And he goes on, "God told me to look for him for whom the Spirit will descend and we remain." And last week we heard that when Jesus was baptized, when he walked out of the water, the Spirit descended on him and it remained on him. And that's what John is saying, that he saw that. And in John's mind, that convinces him that Jesus is the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah. And then the next day, Jesus walks by again. And John says essentially the same thing. "Behold the Lamb of God." And this time, two of John's disciples, probably John the son of Zebedee and Andrew, follow him. They follow Jesus. And Andrew goes to his brother Peter saying, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus, we read in the last part of our gospel lesson. That means that Peter and Andrew and James were the first disciples. You see, Jesus had begun gathering people around him immediately after his baptism and the beginning of his ministry. But just because John says so, that's not a lot of evidence that Jesus was in fact divine, that he was in fact the Messiah. And so we might seek other evidence to help us with that revelation that Jesus was in fact the Messiah, that he was both God and man, that he was that promised person from the Old Testament. So let's see if we can find some other evidence to help us understand that this Jesus that we talk about was in fact the Messiah, both God and man come to save all the earth from their sin. So there are several things I will mention this morning. The first is that all four Gospels record a lot of miracles that Jesus did. While Elisha was able to feed a few hundred men with a few loaves of bread, Jesus fed 5,000 with just five loaves of bread. Jesus drove out demons. He gave sight to the blind, and he gave hearing to the deaf. He raised people from the dead. He controlled the elements of the creation. He calmed the wind and the sea. He helped Peter to walk on the water. He turned water into wine. Jesus healed people simply by laying his hands on them. One lady was healed by only touching the garment that he was wearing. Those are not the kind of things that an ordinary man can do. Those are only things that God can do. And another thing that we hear in the gospel lesson today is the fact that Jesus' ministry begins with the gathering of people around him. He started with individuals, first by gathering his 12 disciples. He gathered men from fishing boats and from tax collector booths and from under fig trees. If he had been planning an earthly kingdom, he would have chosen important people in society, people who had lots of power, But that's not who he chose. He chose people of low and simple status. And he gathered people to himself. People of Palestine flocked to follow him, to hear what he had to say, to be healed by him. Wherever he went, there were large numbers of people attracted to him. He gathered rich people and poor people, scoundrels and even some Pharisees that he gathered to them. And in that gathering together of people to him, he fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 54 that says, "With great compassion I will gather you." And we have some authoritative witnesses who speak of Jesus as the divine Son of God. John was, first of all, the first reliable witness. He had confirmation from God because God had told him to watch and see on whom the Spirit descends and remains. He most likely heard God say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And at least twice in our text for today, he acknowledges Jesus as the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. And there are some more authoritative witnesses. It might surprise you to know that the demons that Jesus cast out were also some authoritative witnesses for him. In almost every example when Jesus cast out demons, it was they who recognized him as the Son of God. They recognized him as their enemy, as their judge, and as the people who would destroy them. And there are still other witnesses. The centurion who nailed Jesus to the cross. When Jesus died, what did he say? "Surely this man was the Son of God." Even the high priest of that day acknowledged that Jesus should die for the salvation of his people, not realizing how true his statement was. And so we can see that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. We see that he gathered people to himself. We see that people flocked to him to be healed and to touch him and to hear his message. But all of that doesn't help us much today. Jesus is no longer with us to guide us, to heal us, to restore our hearing and sight. He's no longer with us to teach his message. He's no longer here to gather people around him. At least that might be the initial thought of some people, because we don't see him sitting in any one of the pews this morning. But let me suggest something. Let me suggest that he is indeed here today. We see examples of him healing people all the time when we would not expect them to be healed. We have his word in the Bible that teaches us, and we have pastors and teachers who teach us that word. And finally, Jesus shows his divinity by increasing the number of Christians every year, increasing that number by hundreds of thousands. You might be saying, "But wait a minute. We don't have hundreds of thousands of people here at Emmanuel." That's true, we don't. We did add about 12 members to our numbers last year. So how can I say that there are hundreds of thousands of new Christians every year? Let me surprise you with some statistics. According to at least some, the Chinese Communist government estimates that since 1949, the number of Christians in China went from 1 million in 1949 to 120 million today. A recent People's Congress of China admitted that Christianity is one of the three major religions in China. And so you see, Jesus continues to reveal his divinity and gather people to him today. That's what the Son of God does. Consider this too. Consider the simple fact that he brought you here today. You could have slept in this morning. It's about 11 o'clock. You could be at this point enjoying maybe your second or third cup of coffee. You could be enjoying perhaps a late brunch. You could be reading the paper and preparing for the game today when the Titans play the Chiefs in about an hour. But you didn't do that. You didn't do that because Jesus brought you here. He got you up. He got you ready and he brought you to worship. And when we begin this service, like we do every Sunday, we say, we begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because Jesus has said, where two or three are gathered in your name, there I am with you. And so indeed he is here with us this morning. I doubt that there is anyone who would say, well, I'm not sure, or I don't think he is. Of course he is here, because this is his church. We are his people. And he lovingly refers to that church as his bride, the person he cares most about in the whole world. You see, Jesus is, in fact, the divine Son of God for all eternity. Just as when Jesus was here on earth, he is still here on earth, gathering people together, bringing people to him. He brought us here this morning. He is present with us right now. He's present in the word that we read, and he's present in the bread and the wine that we will receive a little bit later this morning. Jesus is here, and he will continue to be here with us as we wait to be gathered with him in heaven for all eternity. Jesus is still our divine Savior, both God and man. Amen.